I took that much time for dramatic effect. Let me express this morning my genuine appreciation to your pastor, the Reverend Dr. Steve Wells, for the invitation to be here at South Main. To Matt and Susan, to the staff, and to the South Main congregation, a part of such a long history and influential heritage in the city of Houston. As I looked at the faces on the wall, to look at Dr. Westmoreland and Chafin and Turner, and now Wells, the history. And what a great choice in Steve. Now, Steve Wells is my friend. That's not one of those casual throwaway lines. When I was listening to the choir this morning, and I said, Steve must have designed this all for me. A God of grace, God of glory, Fosdick and John Rutter's arrangement. And when I met Steve, I was listening to John Rutter's Requiem. We were on our way to the Holy Lands. I didn't know him then. He introduced himself to me. I was in the spirit. I don't know what Steve was in. But from that day to this one, Steve has become my brother. Not like a brother, but my brother. He and his family. I love Steve Wells. So I asked Matt, I said, how long does Steve normally preach? He said, he gave me the number. I won't tell you what he said. I said, isn't that something? Because Steve and I were on to preach together a few weeks ago at Truett Seminary, Baylor University. And they gave me the time, and they said to me, Ralph, you're on 12 minutes. And so I did everything they told me to do. They said I needed to include a spiritual, a text, preach 12 minutes, and I did it. Well, needless to say, Steve Wells didn't do anything they asked him to do. And I had real issues, so I told Matt, I'm going to pay him back this morning. I'm glad to be here. And then finally, let me say to you, thank you for giving him a moment where he can unstring the bow to replenish and refresh himself. It is much to be said about you as a congregation to provide that kind of respite for him, his family. So thank you so much, South Main. There's a little story that's tucked away in the New Testament in the Gospel of Luke. It's a brief story that comes on the heel of an atrocity that takes place. Let me read the story, tag the text, and set the scene, and then say one or two things about what Jesus is teaching. The parable is found in Luke chapter 13, verse 6. It's a brief, pungent story that Jesus tells to talk about the effects of a non-productive life and how we can become fruitful Christians. And so in doing so, he tells it at the strange scene, but then he says these words. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, see here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting up the good soil? He said, sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. The barren fig tree becomes the fruitful tree. One day a group of individuals, probably Galileans, came to Jesus, and they were rather eager to tell a gruesome tragedy that had taken place on the outskirts of the city, or really in the heart of the city. here's what happened. Worshippers had gathered, and they were offering sacrifices to God as their ritual and custom would be. While they were engaged in this act of worship, soldiers under the mandate of Pilate came in and they ruthlessly put them to death. It was a terrible scene. It was so bad because the eyewitnesses that reported this said that it was a sacrilege because the blood of the worshiper and the blood of the sacrifice mingled together into one common stream. And this was a violation of everything that was ceremonially clean. And so they thought that Jesus would get in an uproar about all of that as they reported that story, but they were also promoting themselves to be righteous, self-righteous. They were lifting themselves up that way. When Jesus heard it, he responded by simply saying to them, well, if you think that's something, did you hear what happened down the street? Did you hear about what happened in these sacred religious spaces? You think that's some of that? Some group of people, they were minding their own business and the Tower of Siloam fell and took their life. It was a horrible thing. He said, now the question is, which was worse? Was it the people who were offering sacrifices to God, or was it the people who were standing around just in the wrong place at the wrong time? He said, well, whatever happened, know this, except you change your mind and move in another direction, rethink how you think about God, all of us gonna perish. That's a hard word. It was kind of tough. Unless you change the way you think about God and make a U-turn in life, we all perish. That's when he told this story about how God provides adequately for us to be productive people on the planet. That was a man who had a succulence for fruit, particularly figs. And he hired out his vine dresser, the farmer, to go out and purchase seeds to go plant a fig tree for figs. Fig trees don't get a lot of popularity when you start talking about horticulture. But in Jesus' day, these fig trees were prominent. They grew all over the place. Most of them grew on the side of the streets. But more than that, they had a prominent place in the tree family. And it was, this tree was different, though. I mean, it wasn't accidentally planted. It was purposely planted because the owner had an intention in mind that it would produce figs, satisfy his palate for figs. And it had been put in a place of cultivation, so it's probably up on a mountain, it's separated from the other trees, it's not competing for the sunlight or for the dew, like the other trees that are purposely are planted amidst the vine wrappings. Not this tree. This tree is all by itself. And so it's in a place of privilege. It's in a place that is in proximity for the farmer, the vine dresser, to go out and care for it. I can just imagine on mornings when this man who cares for the tree goes out and he's out taking care of the tree. Maybe even bathing the leaves, I don't know. But he's caring for it. Because it's in a place for productivity. Now, you and I know that Jesus is always talking more than about a tree. He has an idea in mind, and the people who were listening to him say, he's not talking about trees, he's talking about our past. He's looking in the rearview mirror at where God has placed us as his people, in the then and the now. Then he says, now you know who you are. You are this group of people that God has called to himself. This is your being. This is who you are. And your being is to reflect the very character of God, but your doing is to fulfill God's mission. That is, that one day the door would be open for people that are not like you to come in. Jew, Gentile. They knew that he was getting to. Then, now. That message rings clear to us, doesn't it? Then, for them, when Jesus was speaking and he's looking back on Israel's history, he says, now reflect the character of God. And what is his character like? We could sum it up maybe in these words. God is gracious. God is compassionate. God is slow to anger. God abounds in love. That's biblical. That's Exodus 34. They would know that. It rings clear for the church even now, then and now. So we reflect the character of Christ. And what is the mission for the church to go into the world? And that's how relationships are established. That's how Steve and I became friends. Me listening to something spiritual and him doing something else. But you get the picture. And so Jesus goes on, he says, and so I've come looking for fruit on this tree, but I didn't find any. Well, trees that are fruitless, but if they're fruitless, then they're not fulfilling the purpose for which they have been planted. And that's where the problem is, because this tree has been planted in a place of privilege, adequate cultivation for fruitfulness. And now it has failed to live up to the purpose for which it has been planted. So the farmer reports, no figs. What do you do with it? Well, cut it down, because uselessness invites disaster. That becomes one of the big teachings of Jesus. Hey, I put you on planet Earth so that you could be useful. And uselessness is an invitation for disaster. And nobody wants to be wiped out. And so grace steps into the story. And the same way that there have been an adequate place for our productivity, God gives a new appropriation of time. So you and I living on time of grace, to do something with the life that God has given to us. He expects us to use this life that he's entrusted us with to be productive, to make the world a better place. I said this to my children the other day that we were talking. I said, I pray that when I fold my tent and move upstairs, that somebody will be able to say that the world is a better place since Ralph West passed this way. To be Christian is not just for us to come and gather here. This becomes a place where we worship God together. Be thou my vision, Lord. God of grace, God of glory, we raise our voices in hymn and anthem of prayer and praise and prayers to God to go into the world to be productive, not just to be on display and say, oh, there's a nice fruit tree. But to add value to life, but there comes a time, like in this case, that sometimes we're fruitless. And that's problematic, isn't it? Because you would think if any group of people is going to be fruitful, it's going to be these people to whom Jesus is referring to. I mean, they have all of the privileges of a productive, fruitful life. They have the covenant of God. They have the patriarchs. They have Abraham. They have Isaac, Jacob. They got Joseph. You can throw Joshua in the mix. Then they got the prophets, they got Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea, and they even got some little bitty prophets in there. Obadiah and Nahum, people like that. And yet he says, and with all of that I've given to you, you're still fruitless. I don't want to belong to a fruitless congregation. I don't want to be around fruitless people. I want to be where there's life and giving and production and all of that. So he says, cut it down, get rid of it. And then here comes the farmer. Let it alone this year. Those are some good words. Have you ever been to a place where you know that you may have been productive on one level, but non-productive on another level? Maybe you've been highly productive at work on a very horizontal plane, but I mean fruitless on the vertical plane. Yeah, what about this one? You think you're fruitful because you got this great relationship with God, but you have poor relationships with people that are around you. God's trying to bring us together, I believe. And so he says, cut it down. Why use up the soil? This is good soil. We could have another tree out here to plant another tree. And so the voice of grace enters in and says, I tell you what, leave it alone this year. Give it some time so we can dig about it. Put manure around it, fertilize it. And then, hey, if it bears fruit, well, but if not, then we'll cut it down. Gordon MacDonald wrote a book, I think back in the probably mid-90s, I think. One was Ordering Our Private World, and another one was Restoring Our Spiritual Passion. In Restoring Our Spiritual Passion, he talked about one of the ways in which we could restore that passion. And he gave these names to acrostics. He talked about people that were VIPs and VTPs and VNPs, VDPs, things like that. And so he was starting up here. He says, you know, there are some people who are VRP. They are very resourceful people. This is one of the highest rungs on the ladder of life that we can get to, is where we are not taking from life, but we're giving back to life. We're mentoring people, discipling people, growing people, using our influence for people. He said, but then there are those who are VIPs, very important people. These are people who use their position in the world for God, in the church, and in the world around them, where they influence people to live right, do right, be right. Then there are the VTPs, very trainable people. These are the people that says, I want to know, I want to be an apprentice, teach me how. But then he said, there are those VNPs, very negative people. Now, I know at South Main, you don't have no members like that. But I know a couple of negative people. Sun's shining, it's too hot, it's raining, it's too wet. Wind blowing is too cool. They can just find negative anywhere. Here negative, there negative, everywhere negative, negative. Then what about the VDPs, the very demanding people? They don't give anything to life, but they know how to take out of life. And so we have to dig around these barren trees so that we can provide it with the adequate cultivation necessary to move them from VDPs, from demanding people up the rung of the ladder, to become very resourceful people. And that takes work. Let it alone this year. If it bears fruit, well. If not, then cut it down. We cultivate in places that are, we call them safe spaces, and then steal places. Sanctuaries that people need to come to find refuge in a world that is screaming with the tyranny of the urgent, when people are trying to sidestep violence and so much hurt and so much destruction, they need a place that they can come to where they can find a safe place, sanctuary. That's how you become fruitful. It must be interesting to be still a downtown church, because you don't know who's going to show up at your church. But that's what makes church good. All these barren, broken trees that show up in here, they come here and find safety. I know it's true. I done passed by here trying to get to This Is It. People sleep on your steps, finding shelter from the rain. That's ministry within itself. You may not look at it that way, but it is safety. And then in a world that's so fast and hurried pace, stillness. Stillness. Be still and know that I am God. Stillness. Cut it down. No, don't do that. Give it another year so I can work with it. Now, some of you now, I know it's tough to tell the truth in church, but some of you know that you were just like that tree. You should have been cut down. And God send somebody with a word of grace to say, let them alone. That's my story. That's my story. I would tell you more, but I would have to add 15 minutes to the sermon, and I promise I was going to end so I could make sure that my sermon was shorter than Steve's sermon. I'm determined to do that. But that is my story. It is. Let me work with him, and maybe God can do something with him. You may say, Pastor West, but in all honesty, in my life, I want to be productive. I feel so inadequate at times. I got the leaves. I have the branches. I don't have the fruit. There are people who will help you here to do that. Let me show you how it works, and I'll sit down, and I want to give you an invitation today to respond to God. That was a tremendous preacher by the name of Alexander White, who pastored Free St. George's Church in Edinburgh. He was known for being a biographical preacher. He could tell the story of the characters throughout the scriptures. You can still find his writings. There was a man named Rigby. That's all they know of him. His name was Rigby. And Rigby would come in and out of Scotland on business. And every time he met somebody, he would say, will you come go to church with me, to Free St. George's Church, to go hear Alexander White preach? And almost everybody invited reluctantly agreed, and then after agreeing, they wanted to go back again to hear White preach. One young man he invited, who was in town on business, to come and hear Alexander White preach, he reluctantly went. But after he heard Alexander White preach that morning, he said, Rigby, would you take me back tonight? And as a result, he went back and was baptized, received his first communion, and went on back to where he'd come from. Rigby had never met Alexander White, but he thought this might be the right time that he would meet him. He didn't go to Free St. George's Church. He located his home address and went to his house and told him about the young man that was baptized. And Alexander White asked, what is your name? He said, Rigby. And Alexander White said, Rigby, Rigby, Rigby. He said, wait, I've been looking for you. He goes into his study and he looks through some mails of letters that he had received from young businessmen over the last years. Came out with a stack of letters and says, I've been looking for you. All of these letters are saying that there was a man named Rigby who invited me to come hear you preach. He said, and I was so excited because half the sermons I preached, I thought they were barren. They were fruitless and nothing was happening. And now I'm here to be reminded that God took what looked like barren and empty, and that which was fruitless and that which was empty, God took it to fill the empty hearts of men on business to come to know me. Not a very dramatic anything. All Rigby did was say, come here, preacher. And a preacher who felt like his sermon was about like a barren fig tree, and yet God produced fruit for himself. You see, it's not you who make the tree grow. It's God who grows the tree. It's not you who produce the fruit. All we have to do is cultivate the life that God has given to us and say, here's the life you gave to me. Now you do with it whatever you choose. And God has a way of doing that. So maybe when Jesus finished that day and the people looked in the rearview mirror, they didn't say, Rigby, Rigby, Rigby. They may have said, story, parable, meaning, purpose. My life is changed by the power of that good news.